Welcome to the RD2B podcast. Each week we sit down with a different registered dietitian nutritionist to showcase the diversity of opportunity in the dietetics profession. Our aim is to dismantle the notion that there is a traditional career path. I'm Carl Barnes, the registered dietitian behind the scenes of RD2B.
And I am Jenna Warnock, the RD2B host. Our RD guests share their stories, career paths, and advice to help students like us succeed in the profession.
Hi, welcome back to the RD2B podcast. I'm your host, Melissa. Today, we have the pleasure of hosting an accomplished nutrition professional, an NDTR turned RD. She's a clinical RD, medical reviewer for Healthline, and a certified personal trainer, as well as the founder of the podcast, NDTR Spotlight, which sheds light on the importance of being an NDTR and the journey towards becoming a registered dietitian. We'll delve into her diverse professional background, spanning from cycle instructor to private practice to contract work. And I'm very excited to have her as a guest today. So welcome, Marie Lorraine.
Thanks. It's so fun being here. I remember always listening to podcasts like this when I was an RD2B. So it's really cool being on the other side and now sharing my story. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you received your bachelor's from Masaya University and your master's degree in nutrition diagnostics from Cox College, which was a coordinated dietetic internship program, is that correct?
Yeah, so it was 2 years. I got my master's and did the internship, so yes.
Okay, and so it was in nutrition diagnostics is what the master's was in. What does that entail exactly?
Yeah, so that's basically, we really focused in on the diagnostic process of dietetics, so doing physical exams, looking for micronutrient and macronutrient deficiencies, and then writing a diagnosis that can actually be treated with interventions and goals. So it was really fun because you went to go treat a patient and you went in with a game plan to find what's wrong and if there was something wrong, and then really learn how to write an intervention and a goal that's going to actually benefit these patients. So I loved it because it wasn't just a master's in nutrition. It was a little bit more focused in on a skill set that I'm still working to improve every day at work. So I really enjoyed that program.
Yeah. So it's basically the nutrition focused physical exam that you really like hone in on, which is, I'm taking advanced MNT right now in my master's courses. And it seems like it's something that if you don't know how to do it correctly, it can really just not allow you to help your patients in their intervention because you're not able to properly diagnose them with the nutritional problem, which is essential. So that's really interesting. I'd never heard of a master's program with nutrition diagnostics. So it's really applicable.
It is very applicable. And it was interesting too. There's Kite's model. So it's a different type of diagnostic codes that we use in the program, which was very similar to what the normal, I think ASIND has. It's just a little bit different, but yeah, it really forces you to go in and not just be passive. It really requires a lot of critical thinking and good skills.
Getting out of your comfort zone a little.
Yeah, getting in their face, touching their, looking for muscle deficiencies and like looking at their nails and stuff and asking questions that you just wouldn't necessarily think about to rule in and out deficiencies. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so can you share when you became credentialed as a NDTR and how it played a role in your professional journey?
Yeah. So I graduated, so 2016, I was going into my senior year at Masaya. It was college now, it's college then, it's Masaya University now. And I was applying for the dietetic internship through DICAS, and I was just so stressed. And I don't get stressed. I'm usually like super chill and like just enjoying life. But I was just really stressed. And I just, getting the RDN credential was unrealistic financially. And then just like my brain was tired from all of the classes. And I wasn't even sure if I wanted to do nutrition as a profession. I loved studying it, but actually stepping into it and working in the field, I was like, oh, I don't know. So the day I decided to say, no, I'm not going to apply for the internship, was so nice. I got to enjoy the rest of my senior year. And then I sat for the NDTR credential in 2017. So I applied to a position at a long-term care facility first as like a food service person. And then there was a DTR position that opened up. So I ended up applying for that. I got hired in October, or I got hired, I think it was October. I got hired before I passed the NDTR credential. So I got hired, passed the NDTR exam, and I got hired before that. So I had, it was a lot of pressure to like study and make sure I passed so I can keep my job. And that was in the long-term care facility. So I worked alongside a dietitian. It was hard, but it was good. I was really doing a lot of clinical things. I had like half the floor, but then they switched owners and the job was terminated, which was sad, but ended up being a really, really good thing because I went to then work as a food service director or like a supervisor. And then I was looking for other jobs and I found that there was a WIC, a town over hiring, and they were just hiring for dietitians. And I was like, well, I'm not a dietitian, but I heard they can have NDTRs too. So I applied to that position, went to the interview. After the interview, I sat in my car and cried because I thought I completely bombed it. But then I ended up getting the interview or getting the job. And so I started working there. So I did some long-term care and I did WIC as an NDTR. And so the only reason I pursued the RDN credentials at this particular WIC, it was in New York. And there's only certain things I could do as an NDTR, and the dietitians could do other things, and I couldn't promote as an NDTR. And I'm very much like, I want to do as much as I possibly can. So that kind of pushed me to do the RDN credential. And there was Diet Tech Central, but there wasn't a lot of content saying what DTRs could do at that time. So I said, okay, I'm going to save up money. I paid off my undergrad loan with that job as a DTR, which was great. And then I applied to Cox College, got into that, and I got my RDN credential in 2021. That's my story.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's interesting how, you know, you said the position at the DTR and long-term care facility was like terminated. And you know, that sounds awful to have happened to yourself, but it led to something. I'm a firm believer, even more so now, like everything is supposed to happen the way it is. And yeah, there's always something better really waiting. So that's awesome. And WIC is such a good place. Like, there's nutritionists there too, which is great for students that have their bachelor's in nutrition. And it's, you know, decent living.
Yeah. Wages. And it's a really good work-life balance. Like the days off were great and the medical was really good at that particular WIC. And so it was a really good experience. I got to work with a lot of great dietitians and nutrition focused minded people.
Yeah. I love WIC.
Yeah.
So when did you start NDTR Spotlight? And just share more about the podcast and why you believe being an NDTR is a significant step in the pathway to becoming an RD.
Yes, this is my favorite topic. It's so bad. So I, like you, I'm a firm believer in wanting to, I want to get the most out of whatever I do. So getting the most out of my NDTR credential was kind of like what I wanted to do at that time. And I was in my undergrad, my graduate program, but I was still in NDTR. And I was like, I'm going to use this credential because I studied for it. I took the exam. I have experience working in it. And I remembered I shared a video on YouTube about how to become an NDTR and it did really good. I was like, for me, it was like 1,000 views, which was like a lot for me. I was like, oh my gosh. So I saw that that was a topic that people were interested in and wanted to know more about. And so I sat down and I was like, okay, I want to do some stuff in the media. What would actually be helpful to people? And what's like something I can niche down and really hone in on? And I thought of NDTRs and I knew 3 NDTRs from school and from work. And I knew that seeing NDTRs or like connecting with NDTRs was really beneficial for me. So I was like, let me do this. I think it'll be fun. I'll have experience. I'll get to talk to people. I'll get to meet new people and I'll put out content that people will want to watch. So I started it then. And then the driving passion behind, so like you could just make a video because you want to get views, but there definitely is a passion for me to keep doing it. It's been 3 years and I'm not stopping. And that's because accessibility is huge for me. So part of the reason I didn't go right to the RDN credentials was like finances and like burnout and just like just not even sure if I wanted to invest all that time and money to work as a dietitian. I just felt like that NDTR credential was like that grace. And that NDTR credential also allowed me to get a position where I was able to pay off my student loans. Mind you, I lived with my parents, so like that was really helpful, but it provided me a salary, you know, that was, I didn't have to work at Target or something. I could work in the field, make connections, and become a professional. And so, excuse me, I think that is huge for people in this profession, and dietitians typically don't get paid as much. That's changing, I feel like. I feel like there's been lots of conversations, a lot of dietitians working to change that. But 2017, when I was coming into the field, that wasn't really big pay. And then now with the master's degree, you can get more schooling and get a higher paying job in a different field. And I really have a heart for nutrition. I think that's really going to save America's health, because we are so unhealthy and we really need nutritional guidance. So NDTR is the most accessible way for individuals to get into the field of dietetics, and that just makes it beneficial for everybody. And that even goes into just the diversity in dietetics, right? So an easier pathway for people to come in. And so I want to continue to promote the credential to increase professionals entering into the field.
Absolutely. I don't think a lot of students know about the credential. I think it's definitely on the up and coming. I know that it's getting a lot more, like the academy is getting a lot more push from NDTRs to like, so they had now during National Nutrition Month, NDTR Day, and they have
Last year was the first one. It was so,
I know, so things are changing. That's awesome. And I was talking to Sammy earlier, and there's awards and honors that she's on the committee for, and there's an award honor for NDTR. So
they've had that for a while, but now I feel like people are getting to know more about it. So hopefully with more NDTRs applying, it'll even grow more. Yes. And you talking about it now is huge, because I didn't even know about that when I was first in NDTR. So,
and Sammy also had said that no one was nominated for it last year. So like, you know, let's change that.
Please.
But now you work in a correctional facility as a clinical RD. So you provide nutritional counseling to inmates and long-term care. So how do you navigate the unique challenges working in that environment? And what are some of your key roles that you are in that job?
Good question. I've been there, this is my 7th month now. And it's funny, I went to FNC this past year and I was like, okay, what information can I get? And corrections is such a small niche in nutrition that it's like its own little world. And I think the biggest challenge and also benefit is with working with inmates, you know everything they're eating because you know everything they have access to. They're not supposed to have anything from outside. So they have a store, which is called commissary. So I like take pictures of all of the foods, like all of the ingredients. And then we have a national menu that they have to follow. So it's very similar to, if anyone's listening, familiar with like food service at a school, it's kind of, there's guidelines that have to be followed for every meal. And then in another way too, it's very similar to like a hospital where there is like a heart healthy diet, which is more low sodium. So they have alternates that the inmates can choose from. So that's nice, but also limiting because you have inmates coming in who ate really healthy before they were incarcerated. And now they're eating this food that's not necessarily that healthy for them. And then you also have inmates who ate terrible on the outside and they're coming in and now this food is so good for them. So that's such a wide spectrum of diversity. But then on top of that, too, you're working with inmates. And so you don't want to be stereotypical or biased, but you do have to be mindful that they might just be saying something because they want to get something. It's a lot of games that they play. So you have to be on top and on guard. So that's a challenge. I will say it's so fun because the things you see in prison, you don't see like anywhere else. Like I had an inmate who had a vitamin A deficiency. I was so excited, girl. It was, I've never, because you don't see that in this country ever, but this man had a vitamin A deficiency. He had end-stage adrenal disease, wounds everywhere, like very sick inmate. But he had the pattern on his skin. I'm blanking on the name, hyperfollicular hyperkeratinosis on the skin. Am I saying it right? And you're nodding your head. You're in the
I think
classroom.
So.
Okay.
Sounds right.
It's like I'm blanking on the name, but on his arms. And then we got it tested. It was deficient. And then we were supplementing. Unfortunately, he did pass before we were able to see if we corrected it. But like things like that are just so fascinating. So clinically, it's like so cool. Safety wise, it's like a whole other layer of like you have to be on your guard. But it's a really great experience. And I'm very happy to step into that role and work there. It's very unexpected.
That's good. Yeah. It takes a certain character, I think, to work in that environment. But you said you were unexpectedly, you know, really enjoyed it. So maybe, you know, it's something that more people should consider. I know when I became a NDTR, which was just in November, so just a few months ago, they're recruiting NDTRs for correctional facilities in Houston.
Are they really?
And like a $5,000 sign-on bonus. So, yeah. So I know that there's jobs out here as well in that field for sure.
Yeah. The reason I applied to it, I was looking on LinkedIn and there was a dietitian who was in a similar role and she said it was the best kept secret in dietetics. So I was like, okay, let me look into this. And I called some RDs who were in that role and that helped. So if someone's considering that, it's a good conversation to have because in nutrition, you have no idea what you're going to like and what you're going to hate until you actually do it.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. That's a really cool job that you have, I think. And that's just interesting. Like the population, it's kind of like, its own unit, right? So like it's like the nutritional deficiency of vitamin A, you know, that, like for that to occur. But I would also kind of think that since the food is more controlled and regulated, that they would be maybe a little more healthier than the general population of the US. Is that true or no?
I think it's different because the lifestyle too comes into play for these inmates. And then, so I would say yes and no. For in our facility, we have end-stage adrenal disease. We have a kidney center, so dialysis center. And so the lifespan for someone on end-stage dialysis in prison is way longer than on the outside. So yes and no to that.
Okay. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
They have the access to healthcare. And
yeah, like 24/7. It's so nice. So, which is they have a right to have that because they're
absolutely
have certain rights in prison, and so you have to make sure their punishment is their incarceration, not how they're treated inside the prison.
That's great. So you're also a medical reviewer for Healthline Media, so which is something I often when I Google sources of vitamin B12, for instance, you know, that's, you know, usually one of the top things that pop up. So tell me about that and how you ensure the articles are medically sound and what motivated you to start doing that.
Yeah, that was an awesome thing, actually, through doing NDTR Spotlight. And I'm always on LinkedIn looking for NDTRs and trying to engage with the community. And since I was so active, a recruiter actually DM'd me and asked me about medical review. And I was like, what is that? Like, explain yourself. And she basically explained what it was. And so I stepped into the role, not really fully understanding it, but knowing in my graduate's program, we were very thorough with like reading nutrition articles and looking for biases in the articles. And so I felt like I could appropriately, you know, research or like make sure something is, you know, not saying something completely bogus and crazy. And so basically what I do is I get articles about 3 a week and I read through them and make sure everything that they're saying is appropriate. And so with that, I make sure they link articles, as you've probably seen in the in the articles that they have. And so I make sure that the article, if they quote something from a source. I read that source and make sure what that source is saying is correctly said in that article. So I have to remove my biases too, because I might not necessarily, you don't agree with everything in nutrition. Even if there's an article about it, you might not agree with it. But if that article is backing it up, and if it's not, and it's something that I see in other articles, and it's a train of thought that's commonly taught in nutrition, then I'm like, okay, that's fine. So basically it's reading the article with a fine comb and making sure they're not saying anything that is wrong or that's going to lead the reader down the wrong path. So I think it's a great thing that they're doing, because I trust those articles a lot more knowing that there's a professional reading through it. And then the writers too, when I get an article, it's not that common where I have to be like, this is all wrong. Like, they do their research as well before they write it, or when they write it. So it's great. It's a good process that they have.
Great. Yeah. I even see, so you have your name on the articles, like medically reviewed by Marie Lorraine Johnson. That's exciting.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
I use, eating well recipes a lot, and they'll even have reviewed by a dietitian and then have their little bio linked on there, which is cool too. So that's neat to have you on there associated.
And you really have to make sure it's like right, because your name is attached to that
article. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't want to have it say something weird.
Yeah. And that's why we do so many research methods and in undergrad and even grad school, because you have to be literate in that. It's not, as daunting as it is, it's so important to know how to read those research articles. So you've been a contract RD at a mental health hospital for teens, and you also dabbled in starting a private practice. How have these experiences contributed to your overall professional growth? And tell me a little bit about the contract and private practice. Are you still dabbling in that?
So before I got this job in corrections, I was doing a lot of contract nutrition work. So I worked for Bright Sky Nutrition, which was a private practice. So I was a dietitian brought on there. And then I also did the hospital. And those are great. I mean, the pay is awesome. Tax season sucks because they don't take the taxes out. But it was fun because I had so much flexibility in my schedule. So it wasn't like a strict schedule. It was kind of like I worked when I needed to, which is good and bad in both ways. And then the mental health hospital, that was another thing where it kind of just came up and I was like, I mean, okay, like, I didn't really know what I was doing. But I walked into it, and once I was there, like, I felt like I had the skills and I could like do it pretty fine, but it's a different population. So, I mean, that was really interesting. The conversations that you'd have with a teenager who's struggling with food and body image is so different than the conversations I have with inmates in the prison, and also just like the interventions, and it's really interesting. So I did that, and then I did that. I was working it with her. And so then I had a little moment where I moved away to Arizona and dipped my feet into like some media stuff, but I really missed nutrition. So I came back, and while I was there in Arizona, I was doing some contract stuff. So I just had one client really, because I wasn't trying to expand it, but I did meal prep for her. I did her shopping for her and was helping her with weight loss goals. So it was very, 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 very one-on-one. We met once a week. I'm still meeting with her now. And so I still have that on the side. And I took like 3 months of last year just seeing if I really wanted to pursue the private practice, but I found it wasn't for me. There's so much involved with like charging and insurance and pricing and marketing that I found that I didn't have enough time to live my life, and I wanted PTO. And so I have it on the side. I don't know if I'll ever do private practice full time, just because it's not my passion. I much rather do like podcasting on the side or some media on the side and then have like a paycheck coming from somebody else. So, but it was fun to dabble in. I'm glad I did it, but it's not for me.
Yeah. It's very involved. Running everything you eventually I would think you'd have to hire a bookkeeper for yourself just to help you organize and, while you're doing your business. So, but it's impressive to see all these dietitians that do their own businesses. It's awesome, but yeah. I can definitely see where it'd be very involved and difficult to have your life yes. and do the things you want to do and leave those responsibilities for someone else.
Yeah.
I get that.
I will say the nice thing about private practice though is that you do get to practice nutrition in the way that you want to practice it. Because now where I am, there's certain things that I just can't do for the inmates because there's not enough like clinical or like long-term studies on it. So like any new and emerging information that's coming out in the field of nutrition takes a really long time to get to the governments to be able to do. So private practice is a beautiful space where you can really practice like nutrition.
I see that there aren't limits and on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're also a certified personal trainer and were a cycling instructor for 2 years.
Yeah, I was.
So how did that influence your approach to health and wellness and both professionally and personally?
Yeah, so I took on that credential because I knew nutrition and fitness were pretty, you know, closely knit. And I wanted to be able to have that conversation and be credentialed and feel like I know my stuff. So I got this certified personal trainer credential and it worked. It was wonderful when I was working at Bright Sky as a private practice nutritionist because I would do fitness classes there for them. And we'd bring that into a part of like a 10-week program that we had. Like the fitness component came in towards the end to help, you know, maintain lifestyle. And there's so much great research about how increasing your muscle mass helps decrease risk for diabetes and helps with glucose metabolism and all that stuff. So that was helpful. In regards to how it helps me like in my daily life and whatnot, I find that being an instructor, so I stepped on the role as a cycle bar instructor. I stopped because they ended up closing out here, which was kind of sad, but that's okay. What was nice about it is I found the community aspect of fitness is really, really important. Just like eating in, as a, on a table with people is really important. Fitness with people in an environment that's supportive is really great as well. So in my counseling, you know, we teach lifestyle goals. Yeah. Lifestyle interventions. It's not just like a one-time thing. And so
sustainable.
Yeah. Sustainable goals. And so, the fitness classes and getting involved in a community like that, I was able to be in that community and space for a while and saw really how it benefited people mentally and physically. So that was really rewarding.
I never thought about the community aspect, like the communal part of eating and the communal part of being in a group fitness. But just even going to a gym and doing your thing can boost your confidence so much. Like it just, it's insane because yeah. I recently experienced this personally. Like I'm a gym newbie and like it's helped me so much in a lot yeah. of other aspects of my life. It's amazing. So that's a really interesting parallel that you've mentioned that I never thought about. And I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. Like positive peer pressure is what I always say. Like you got to keep yeah. riding because the neighbor next to you is riding. You can't
yeah.
stop.
So, and I love seeing other yeah. people like cheer other people on yes. or like help other people out. Like it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's so great. So lastly, to close it out, if you could pick one word of advice for dietetic students, what would that be?
I actually heard this from a guest I had on my spotlight recently, and it was just to slow down. I feel like there's such a rush to become a dietitian, the RD to B, that we plow through everything and we don't take a moment to just stop and smell the roses and just enjoy your career. Because even as a student, you're building your career, you're meeting people, you're learning things, and those skills you're learning, those are foundational and they're going to come up over and over and over again. I promise you they will come up in your career. And so slow down, take your time. And I mean, I am huge for the NDTR route. So like even if you're planning on doing that internship and you have time, you're just going to be studying more of the information and getting more concrete in your head. And then taking that exam, which is going to benefit you in your internship. And I do strongly believe that when people are looking at your application, they see NDTR, it shows them that you've already know how to pass the test. You already are a credentialed professional. And then it just gives you a little boost of confidence, and then also allows you to, I mean, if you don't get matched, because that is unfortunately a possibility, you have that to fall back on. And so I would just say, take your time, smell the roses, enjoy your career, enjoy your life. Don't rush just to become a dietitian, because once you're there, there's still stuff you can do, but like you're going to be a dietitian for years. So no need to rush it.
Yeah, that's reminds me of Ferris Bueller. I don't know if you've watched that movie. He's like, life moves by pretty fast. If you don't stop and slow down, it could move past you. And I agree with that. Taking it slow, and every opportunity, like seize every opportunity.
Yes.
Meet a new student. It's awesome networking too. So,
yeah. Well, it was sorry. Let me add one more little tidbit.
Okay. Sure.
One more advice that another NDTR actually told me, who was an NDTR for like 20 years. I learned so much stuff talking to NDTRs. It's ridiculous. But she also said, don't say no to like anything. So if they're like, can you do this? Just say yes and then figure it out later.
Fake it till you make it.
Most of my jobs, I just said okay, and I didn't know what I was doing. So. Okay,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Done.
I agree with that one too. Like, even if you're like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, it's scary, just do it, because it's going to pay off for
sure. 100%.
It was such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for agreeing to be here. And I know that this is going to be great information for our students and interns that listen. I mean, you spoke to my SNA at the University of Houston over a year ago, and you encouraged me to get my credentials. So yeah, it's going to hopefully inspire some others as well.
So, well, that's good. That's the goal.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem.